Bubbles? Bubbles? Oh, there you are. Bubbles, do you know what today is?
Ooh.
Of course it's Sunday, Bubbles. Don't get snarky. No, today is a very special day. Today is the day that my long life dream gets realized.
Ooh.
What? No! Do I look dressed for a beauty pageant? Ridiculous. I think it's time I share my knowledge with people more likely to listen than Goku. I've decided I'm going to start my own podcast, Bubbles. That's right. And I know just what I'll call it. This is King Kai Cast.
Welcome, everyone, to episode 1 of King Kai Cast. I'm your host, Peter Vioxx, and good morning. It's Saiyan Sunday. I'm excited for us to finally be starting our long journey on Snake Way today. I had some difficulty deciding where exactly to start. Full chronological with the tale of Goku's father, Jocko, the Galactic Patrolman with young Bulma and her sister Tights. There were a few options, but I decided it would be best to start with the Dragon Ball manga and just go straight forward. And once each series is complete, then we can examine any supplemental material, be it movies, standalone manga, etc. And then we'll hit Dragon Ball Z, and so on. We'll find out exactly how many chapters we're going to do once we get there. Now, do you remember last week in episode 0 when I told you about my first Dragon Ball toy, Sword Swing and Yamcha? Right, well my very first cosplay at an anime convention was Yamcha as well. That was KentokyoCon 2014. And I remember I wanted to do something that I hadn't seen much of at cons. Plus, I really enjoyed the character a lot in the series, thinking his gags were laughable, but that he was also pretty badass. And I really dug that outfit enough to make it entirely by hand. It was totally amateur, though. Everything was hand-sewn. Even the orange pants, purple canvas to turn the shoes into boots, red and white circles from t-shirts with the fabric-painted kanji for Raku. I did it all because he was my favorite character. The reason I'm telling you this is to initiate the desired interactive nature of this podcast. Occasionally, I'll tell a story and ask for your input. In this case, I want to know your favorite character in Dragon Ball. And any characters you've ever cosplayed from the original series, or want to, tell me all about it. You can send me an email at kingkaicast@gmail.com, and remember that voice recordings are accepted as well. Hear your thoughts on an upcoming episode. Now, since this is a shiny, brand new start to a series, with the beginning of a volume, we get a little background information on the mangaka, Toriyama-sensei. I'm going to read his bio, and then each little snippet that he wrote in 1985 as we come to them. It says artist-slash-writer Akira Toriyama burst onto the manga scene in 1980 with the wildly popular Dr. Slump, a science fiction comedy about the adventures of a mad scientist and his android daughter. In 1984, he created his hit series Dragon Ball, which ran until 1995 in Shueisha's best-selling magazine Weekly Shonen Jump, and was translated into foreign languages around the world. Since Dragon Ball, he has worked on a variety of short series, including Kawa, Kajika, Sandland, and Neko Majin, as well as a children's book, Tochio the Angel. He is also known for his design on work in video games, particularly Dragon Warrior RPG series. He lives with his family in Japan. Now as for the little snippet of what he says in Volume 1, the setting of Dragon Ball has a sort of Chinese feel to it, but it's not necessarily China. Exactly where it takes place is uncertain. The overall story is very simple, but I'd like to keep making up more details and illustrations as I go along. This way, I can draw anything I want to and enjoy the tension and excitement of figuring out what I'll draw next. Akira Toriyama, 1985. Alright, it's time to start the tale of Bloomers and the Monkey King. And it begins long, long ago in a deep, dark forest far from civilization. Beyond a towering range of, well, you get the idea. It's the kind of place that a story like this has to begin. That's the first text block on the first page, and we see a young boy named Goku easily rolling a giant log back to his residence, chatting it up with some monkeys in a tree as he passes. Now, like these monkeys, Goku also has a tail. Once he gets home, he focuses on that giant log, which is easily 6 times his size, and then he suddenly proclaims, "Prepare to die!" as he runs at it full speed. He grasps the log, tosses it up high into the air, and then kicks it 1 time, turning it into perfectly chopped wood for a fire in 1 fell swoop. All that work stirred up a mighty hunger in Goku, to no one's surprise. He grabs his staff and ties it to his back. Then he kneels before a little orange orb on a cushion, saying to it, "Hey, Grandpa, I'm gonna go get some grub." So he heads out, wondering what he's gonna find today, hoping that it's a tiger, because he just had bear the other day. Meanwhile, a young girl with blue hair steps out of a sweet car that says Turbo on all sides. She looks down at a radar of sorts, seeming puzzled. "It's gotta be around here," she says, "or maybe a little more west." And she hops back in the car and speeds off. Our little friend Goku hears the roar of a waterfall off in the distance and remembers that he can eat fish. So he wastes no time hopping off the cliff he was just standing on, catching a branch and whipping around it nimbly to land safely at the edge of the body of water. He strips down and dips his tail in the water. Now, this wouldn't fool any fish, and a giant one down below with huge teeth thinks the same thing. He sees the source of the tail and claims that he's going to eat that dumb monkey, and races up to the surface, chomping as he flies out of the water. Goku moves his tail just in time, and jumps to kick the giant fish square in the jaw, killing it instantly. As he's dragging it back home, he hears another roar, the sort of which he's never heard before. It's the young girl's car racing down the road. She only just sees Goku and is able to screech to a halt just before hitting him. But this doesn't stop her from screaming at him, calling him a roadblock. Goku is just admiring the strange machine until he sees the blue-haired girl rise out of the window. "So a monster, eh? Trying to snatch my prey from me, huh?" He immediately goes into defense mode, and just like the giant log from before, he picks up the car with the girl inside and tosses it like it weighs nothing. The girl, freaking out and pissed, crawls out of the wrecked car, but this time with a pistol. Goku calls her a hideous demon emerging from the monster, and that's enough for the girl to shoot him square in the head. But the story doesn't end there. Goku gets up, exclaiming, "Ow, ow, ow! What are you, some kind of witch?" This freaks the girl out, and Goku commands her to get up and fight. Not for the first time. At this point, if bullets won't work, she tries to explain the misunderstanding, that she's not a demon, but a human. Goku's like, "Oh, really?" She tells him to take a gander to prove it, that she's just like him. He looks her up and down, from all angles, but he's still suspicious, saying that she's kinda like him, but different, softer and bumpier in some places. She says that's because she's a girl. Goku is taken aback, claiming that he's never seen another human before, much less a girl. But his dead grandpa always told him that if he ever met a girl, to treat her nice. He looks her up and down one more time for good measure, and then he says, "So, females don't have tails, huh? So weird." The girl just laughs, thinking that he's wearing a tail to seem cool or something. Goku offers to take her back to his house to give her some food. The girl agrees, figuring she can use his ridiculous strength to help her out on her own quest somehow. Once they get back to his home, he goes back to the orange orb saying, "Look, Grandpa, I brought a girl home." And she freaks out. It turns out that the orb is the very thing that she's been looking for, a Dragon Ball. To prove it, she pulls out two more from her bag, one with two red stars on it and the other with five. Goku's just caught up on the name, saying, "Oh man, that poor dragon." She starts telling him about this old legend she researched that said that there were originally seven Dragon Balls and that each glows with the light of the stars inside them. His four-star ball is called Sushinchu. The two-star that she found in her attic is called Arushinchu. And the five-star that took her weeks to find is called Oshinchu. She's almost halfway to collecting them all, but the rest of the way is going to be no cakewalk. But something amazing happens when you collect all seven. You're able to summon the dragon god Shenlong, and he'll grant you a single wish. The last person to collect them all became a king. But somehow the balls got scattered after the wish was granted, and now she's on her own quest to collect them all, and she's already settled on her wish. At first, she wanted a lifetime supply of strawberries. Who wouldn't? But now, she's decided to wish for a super cute boyfriend. And now it's time to continue that quest. So she politely asks Goku to hand over Sushinchu, the four-star ball. He's totally not about it, which she assumes that he wants something in return. So she lifts up the side of her skirt, showing her panties, and says, "Okay, but just one little feel." Goku looks, but is immediately like, "Why would I want to feel your dirty butt?" This pisses her off. She goes from 0 to 100 like that. "My butt is not dirty!" But she regains her composure and says, "Fine. Well, you can just help me out on my quest. After all, didn't your grandpa tell you to be nice to girls?" Goku agrees, but he's definitely not going to give her grandpa. She claims that she's just going to borrow it at the very end. That's all. She's actually pretty happy with how this turned out, because he's going to be the perfect bodyguard. And he doesn't need to know that after the wish is granted, all the balls fly off to the ends of the earth. She shows Goku that she can find the other Dragon Balls using a ball detector that she made, or Dragon Radar. But this detects a faint electromagnetic pulse that they all emit. The next closest Dragon Ball is 1,200 kilometers to the west, so they're going to have to use the vehicle. Since Goku wrecked her other car, she's going to have to take another one out. As she says this, she pulls out a little container full of capsules. "By the way, what's your name?" she asks the boy. He says his name is Goku, Son Goku, and she says her name is Bulma. This immediately cracks Goku up. "Doesn't that mean bloomers?" And she doesn't find it funny in the least. Muttering that she hates little twerps, she goes back to looking through her container of capsules and settles on number 9, which she then throws off and it explodes with a huge cloud. As the cloud dissipates, it reveals a sweet motorcycle where the capsule was thrown. Goku freaks, claiming that he knew she was a witch. Bulma tells him, "Get over it, ape boy. Everyone in the city uses hoi poi capsules," and then they speed off. Goku has a hard time with these machines all of a sudden. But he is impressed considering the bike is going faster than he can run, which he didn't think was possible. After riding for about 20 minutes, Bulma hits a real steep hill, which sends them catapulting through the air. Goku is blown away since she just made them fly. But Bulma didn't really mean to do that, so she's a bit spooked. She pulls over, telling Goku that she'll be right back. He doesn't get it as she walks off, continuing to ask questions until he realizes that she's going to go pee. He says, "Why do you gotta go all the way over there? Just do it here like a normal person." Whew, get a clue, Goku. Half a moment later, Bulma lets out a loud screech. Goku runs over as fast as he can, saying to himself, "I hope her weenie didn't get bit by a snake." When he finds her, he discovers that she's being held hostage by a huge pterodactyl-like monster. Instead of saving her immediately, Goku strikes up a conversation with the monster, who basically convinces him that he and Bulma are friends, and that they're just going to go off to go have a private conversation. Goku sees no problem here, but he does wonder why the monster tied him up. Bulma screams, "Rescue me, you idiot!" And Goku, still a bit confused, unties himself with his tail, and tries to figure out how he's going to get up there to the flying monster. Then he sees the bike, and he remembers how Bulma made it fly just a bit ago. He manages to get the bike moving, and hits a steep hill, making it go way up into the air. But as it stops rising, Goku realizes that he's going to have to jump the rest of the way. So he does, and then he pulls out his staff. "Okay, staff, do your stuff," he exclaims, and it seems to extend long enough for him to swing and hit the monster right over the head. He calls it Nyoibo, which we might also know as the Power Pole. It's based on the magical staff wielded by the immortal monkey Sun Wukong in the 16th century classic Chinese novel Journey to the West. The blow kills the flying monster, and Bulma falls out of its grasp. As she's screaming, Goku tells her, "Relax," and he throws his staff in such a way that it goes through one of her short dress's armholes and then out the other. It's leaving her dangling from the cliff the staff lodges into from the force of the throw. "See? All's well that ends well," says Goku. But poor Bulma isn't having it, as she's had enough and is legit pissing all over herself as she hangs from the staff. "What's so swell about peeing in my pants?" she screams. And then, the first chapter of Dragon Ball ends. Next, my balls are missing. And that's going to be the end of episode 1 of King Kai Cast. We're just going to cover the first chapter today and be tackling more chapters per episode moving forward, since they are much shorter than the pilot story. Tell your Dragon Ball friends about King Kai Cast and that they can check it out at anchor.fm/King Kai Cast, recorded and released every Saiyan Sunday. And don't forget to email your answers about your favorite Dragon Ball character and any that you've ever cosplayed or want to via text and even a voice recording attachment to kinkaicast@gmail.com. And remember, you should follow us on Twitter @kinkaicast to stay up to date with the comings and goings of the podcast. Thanks for listening again this week, folks. Tune in next week for episode 2, No Balls, and find out what shenanigans Goku and Bulma get into next time on KinkaiCast.
Don't let me go.